Take a journey with me to the profound, uplifting space of a death cafe. My guest, Allison Pilling, shares a wisdom on embracing conversations about death and finding solace in community support. Explore how this inclusive and empathetic environment is fostering resilience and understanding in the face of life's greatest certainty.
This is the Executor Help Podcast, the show for people who want the sense of security knowing all their affairs are in order. Avoid the stress and anxiety of what could happen to your estate, to your assets, and to your family when you're no longer here. Now here's your host, David Eady.
So in season two, my first conversation with Allison Pilling was about her book, R.I.P., Restoring Inner Peace, a young widow's story of being transformed by love. Actually, you should go listen to it. It's a great conversation. The episode's called Restoring Inner Peace, a Young Widow's Story. But today, Allison's also an intuitive life coach, and she does something really unique, and which is pretty cool because I, full disclosure, I've sat in on the death cafes, and she holds these monthly get-togethers, both online and in person. As I said, they're called the Death Cafe, and that's what Allison's here to talk about, her involvement and how it helps people. Allison, thanks for taking the time to be here. See you once again. It's really nice to see you. How are you doing?
Yeah, thank you, David. Yeah, I'm doing great. And I'm excited to share about Death Cafe. So, let's get going.
Okay, the Death Cafe. It's going to conjure up a lot of thoughts in people's minds. Wow, Death Cafe, what's that all about? What inspired you to want to start your own Death Cafe? Because I know it's a movement, an organization that's held around the world. How did you first learn about it?
Yeah, so I did not start the Death Cafe originally. It was originated in the UK, and you can find out information about Death Cafe at deathcafe.com. I created the one in my area, so I call it the Death Cafe Quinty. I live in Belleville, Ontario, so we started in person, so we really focused on our community. And then we moved on over the last few years. So now I'm alternating, as you mentioned before. And the way it came to me is my neighbor and friend just, you know, we're talking in the driveway and she said, "Hey, I know that you've been dealing with grief. You've been dealing with trying to find support and resources in the community. Have you ever heard of Death Cafe? I would love to start one here." And I just looked at her and I said, "Yeah, sure, let's give it a try." I had no idea what it was. I was just like, "What?" So I went home and I did the whole Google search as to what a death cafe is and how to run one. And yeah, we agreed to start that up. So we started up together about 3.5 years ago. And I've been running it on my own for about the last 2.5 years. It's me.
So who's a death cafe for?
Yeah, so it's specific to adults that wish to have respectful conversations around death and dying. And ultimately with the objective to talk about how we live our lives. So it's a drop-in group. It's intended to be very casual. So like you're stopping in at a cafe. Again, that's where it all started, was this idea of going into a cafe that you would have this kind of casual conversation. It's for those people that are curious about it. So I have some people that attend that are curious about it. I have some people that are facing illnesses that they're actually have death or have to make those kind of decisions. It's right in front of them. I have caregivers attend, end of life workers, death doulas. Yeah, it's a whole mix of people. So I would say it's a gathering of people who know you will be talking about topics about death and dying, because sometimes when you bring up that topic, people cringe, and it's not a topic that everyone feels open about talking about, right?
I know I sat in, actually, the reason why I had never heard of the Death Cafe, but then after our conversation, when you did the episode in season two, that's why I sat in on, I think it's about 3 of them, but I did them all online. And it really was a collection of different people at different stages of their life who had gone through grief and they were looking for a place to just have a conversation. And they seemed to be, they just wanted, it's, to me, it seemed like they just wanted to talk to somebody and to be heard. And you make it easy in terms of the facilitator to put out a topic. And then it just, a lot of times we just would go off on a bit of a tangent in terms of how people felt. It wasn't, in my experience, it wasn't sad because there was a lot of laughter and people felt good about it. And that part of it is, again, you being the facilitator. Why did you think there was a need to create such a space for a conversation about death and grieving?
I know from my own experience, so my husband passed away in 2016. And so I was 36 years old and with two young children. We tried to access many grief support or bereavement support options within our community. We tried a whole bunch of different things, and I just found that some of them weren't the right fit for us. So it took us quite a while to find the right fit. I also found within my family and in my close friends, it was a difficult topic to talk about. I lost my husband, but they lost, when I think about my in-laws, they lost their son, they lost their brother. Within our friends, people lost their best friend, right? So when I had questions about being the executrix or just about death in general or curiosities or anything around that topic, I just didn't know who to talk to. And I had looked at some more formal program, and I just didn't feel that grief ended at the end of 8 weeks. Like an 8-week program, it just didn't seem to be what my experience was. So I was looking for, I find, and this is a feedback from a lot of the participants at Death Cafe, is that having conversations with strangers about some of these curiosities or some of these experiences feels easier because you don't have that emotional attachment, right? You don't have that emotional side of it. Having the conversation with your parents, preparing for either their illnesses or death or your own, right? Once you have a bank account in that, you can have a will.
Right.
Because you'd have an executor. But yeah, like when you start thinking about those things or having those conversations, I just wanted this open space that it's not mandatory to come. I'm not taking attendance. There's no agenda. I have no agenda. I'm not selling anything. A lot of people don't know that I'm a life coach or that I'm an author. I'm not selling that in this group. It's literally just an open space to have respectful conversation. And what comes up can be quite remarkable. It's really participant-led. I'm there to facilitate the safe, respectful space, right?
And you do a great job. So when you say that people might open up because you're having the conversation with a lot of strangers, people you don't know, you're having this pretty deep conversation, is it a beginner level kind of therapy that's being done around, if it was in a real cafe over coffee and cookies and pastries, that you're having this low level sort of therapy, which is hopefully opening your eyes and your knowledge and curiosity about talking about death or grieving?
Yeah. So what we say is it's not therapy. I don't step in there as a therapist, and people have attended.
I don't mean
do have that background, but it is therapeutic.
Yes. Okay.
For sure. So for someone that benefits from talking through issues, talking through solutions, I guess we'll say, if you're someone that benefits from that, from tossing your ideas out into the air and having dialogue around it so that you can pick and choose what you think will work for you, this is a great space for it. There's no mandatory requirement. I don't require someone to be grieving 3 months before they can enter. Things like, there's no criteria that. It's literally just people who are open to having that conversation. I do ask that people are adults, right? So that they're able to fully consent. And I do ask at the beginning of each event that we maintain confidentiality with who attends and their story. So people are more than welcome to say that I'm there. But I like individuals to be able to speak of their own stories, not for people to go around and share.
Yeah. In the time that you've been running the Deaf Cafes, have there been any sort of surprising or unexpected insights that you've gained from people's attitudes towards death and dying? Have you had any stories?
I was like, how long do we have? So when I maintain the way that I communicate Deaf Cafe Quinty is all through a Facebook page. It's if you look up Deaf Cafe Quinty, anyone's welcome to follow that or like it so that you know when videos are posted. At the end of each discussion, I try to do 3 to 5 highlights. So these are broad topics. Again, I want to keep confidentiality with the group. So I share stories there, but definitely things have come up that I never even thought of in certain perspectives. We've had diversity with cultural backgrounds, religious backgrounds, even with the people living with different medical conditions that I never even thought. It didn't cross my mind because I haven't lived that yet. I haven't experienced it. So that's actually one of the reasons why, even though the world's opened up again, I keep doing 1 month we're online and 1 month we're in person, because there's been a community built online. We expand way past Belleville. I've had people from the U.S., all over Canada. I've had someone from Colombia. It's really built this community that people find beneficial. And I've received that feedback from participants. I have people send me emails saying, I have to miss this month and I really miss you guys or whatever. Yeah. I have one person who's a regular who started a new job and actually said, as part of her condition of being hired, was I need to have every third Wednesday of the month off to attend Deaf Cafe Quinty.
Wow. Any particular stories, anything that jumps out at you that you can think of that, wow, I didn't expect that? Or are you?
I would say some things that I haven't, that have come up, that have been really reoccurring, which would tie into the work that you've done as well, is how important preparing your estate is. Mm-hmm. And that is like consistently repeated almost every month. There's someone sharing a story or an event around either preparing for themselves or where they've had to prepare for that. Another thing that actually came up a few times that I had even forgotten about were different ways to prepare a body after death. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand that there were options, right? I grew up where everyone goes to the funeral home, right?
Yeah.
And there's 2 options. There's the coffin or there's cremation.
Yeah. There's
well,
more?
It turns out there's a bunch of different options out there that I was not aware of. So that's been some really interesting sharing. And most recently, we talked about aquamation, which is similar to cremation, but instead of fire, they use water.
In what way? This is new to me.
Yeah, so it's alkalinity. So they use the alkalinity in water with temperature and pressure.
Okay.
And it dissolves the organic material, so you're left with the bone material, very similar to cremation. So the family would still receive remains for a burial if they wish, or for an urn, or however they wow. wish to do. But it uses water. And that has come up a couple times, and I've forgotten about it, but it came up again recently. Also, like green burials, that's been a new discussion.
And what's a green burial?
Yeah, so that is with a burial where you're not actually in a coffin. So it's depending on the method you make, but it's placing a body within the ground, right, to decompose naturally without being contained.
Wow.
Yeah, so this is coming up around the world because of space issues, because of the chemicals that are used in some of these processes. So with cremation and that type of stuff, people are learning all different ways. And even, like I said, some different cultures, let's say you pass away at the hospital, they will actually take the individual home to do the preparation and all that themselves.
Ooh.
And Yeah. So there's different things that I just was not aware of because that wasn't tradition in my family.
I need to come back.
I just recognize that there's a lot. I guess the greatest learning from the Death Cafe, Quinty, is that there's a lot of options out there. So if you're happy with where you're at and what your decisions are, that's amazing, right? There's no reason to change. But if you're curious and wondering, what else can I do? So even for end of life celebrations or funerals, that is done in so many different ways. So that has been really eye-opening to me, is that the number of options there are for families and individuals.
Well, has that changed your perspective, you personally, having all these conversations, has it changed your perspective on death, grieving, and how important it is to live a full life?
Yeah. So one of my greatest learnings from this is, and I see this across the board, it doesn't matter what age you are, what cultural background you have, what religion you have. It's like grief is this massive emotion or display of love. It's like a displaced love, love that doesn't know where to go because there isn't that physical being to put that on. So whether it's an animal or a human or whoever you've lost as your loved one. So that has been a very different shift in perspective from me 10 years ago when I like lost. So actually it will have been 8 years that my husband passed away. So I had a very different perspective back there. I really focused on the hurt. I focused on the loss. And I find now with these conversations, and maybe it's with time, when I have memories of James, my husband, it's more focusing on what did he bring to my life and how can I honor that moving forward for myself and my children? Not, and actually just respecting the fact that I don't know how much time we each have. So I guess it's allowed me to really focus in on more moments instead of always planning for the big picture.
Right.
And hoping it always goes to plan, because I've learned it doesn't always go to plan. But yeah, it's like really stepping into that perspective of there are options. Grief is this massive form of love. And how can I honor myself with where I want to go and also my loved one moving forward? How can I carry that forward? And also a big learning is grief doesn't have an end date.
No.
And I don't want to burst someone's bubble, but I'll just say it shifts and changes, right? And it can feel more intense sometimes and it can feel lighter sometimes.
But bubble's never going to burst for the individual who's feeling the grief. Whereas someone who's looking in or has to deal with someone who's dealing with grief, they might, you know, be insensitive and make it about them and say, it's time for you to get over it. It's enough now. And that's where I think you really start to learn who your friends are and who really is important in your life, because they take the time to care about who you are. If you need to just be there and just sit and listen, that you know that you have that person. So you're right. The bubble's never going to burst. It's always going to be there, but it's also who the people you have around you that could make a difference in terms of how your life goes forward.
Yeah. One thing I find, so it happened to me just the other day, I was on the phone with someone and we ended up talking about the Death Cafe. And at one point they just stopped and said, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm hanging up. And I was like, what? Cause they were asking me questions. But they said, I can't talk about this anymore. I'm afraid of what might come up. I need to go. And I was like, okay. So recognizing that some people struggle. A lot of the times when they shut down those conversations and that, it's not, I wasn't even talking about anything detailed. Yeah. We'll say it was very surface, like, where we meet, how often we meet, some of the main topics, but nothing in detail. I was not getting morbid. That's another thing. Some people think because of the name Death Cafe that we're like glorifying death and that it's a morbid place to be. I've had some very interesting comments shared with me on Facebook of their thoughts which I'll say, that's not true at all. It's not about glorifying death or anything like that.
I can attest to that. It's not about there is the topic of it, of death and grief, but everybody who's, again, I've only been online maybe three times. It's people coming at the topic from different angles. They're at different places in their life, but they know that this is the safe place to have this conversation. There's going to be people that are going to be uncomfortable and don't want to have that conversation because if they think if they talk about it, it's going to happen to them. Spoiler alert, it's going to happen to all of us. But at the cafe, everybody's there from different angles, like I said, and they're there to have that conversation, open conversation, no judgment. And you're hopefully going to walk away feeling a little bit better about the subject, wherever you are in your life, wherever it comes to death and grieving.
Yeah, like I shared, I have been widowed for 8 years. I've had other people and my grandparents pass away prior to that. And I would say over these last 3.5 years of facilitating Death Cafe Quinty, I still have not, I don't even know that I scratched the surface of learning about people's experiences and what's out there. And support, like people share support as well. And again, it's definitely a space for those that are just curious on having these conversations and don't want to blindside other people. Like we all engage, like when you show up, you're consenting to have a conversation around death and dying instead of being blindsided when if someone just comes over and, hey, guess what? I was filling out my living will and I want this and that. And like, everyone knows why they're there. So I have had the experience that they've been very respectful conversations. And I will say, we've had to agree to disagree a bunch of times.
I've noticed that. I noticed that there is, I remember having the conversation with a gentleman, I think it was the one, he was in Colombia, and some of the things he was saying, it didn't jive with me. But again, those are his beliefs. Those are his choices. Who am I to judge? And that's what's great about it. All right.
Hi, I'm Carol Roth, creator of the Future File Legacy and Wishes Planning System, and someone who understands the importance of planning for life's inevitable twists and turns. If you're like most people, thinking about your legacy and the administrative aspects of life's eventualities isn't exactly top of mind, but it should be. That's where FutureFile comes in. Designed to provide peace of mind for you and your loved ones, our system guides you through organizing your essential information, wishes, and assets all in one place. Whether it's dealing with healthcare decisions, managing digital assets, or ensuring your financial legacy is preserved, FutureFile has you covered. Our goal is to minimize the stress and financial burden on your family during what will undoubtedly be a challenging time. With FutureFile, you're not just planning, you're protecting those you love by leaving behind the greatest gift, clarity during chaos. Take the first step towards a thoughtful and organized legacy today by visiting futurefile.com/David. Use the promo code EXECUTORHELP and get an additional 15% off on your purchase. Let FutureFile help you help your loved ones when they need it the most, because peace of mind is a legacy worth leaving.
Okay. Do you have any other stories or experiences that highlight the diversity of the different attendees at the cafe? And are the different reasons that people choose to participate? Why do they come? They're just looking for that safe space?
Yeah. So I have had people come from the age of 21 up to the age of 92. It's been very diverse that way. Primarily, I would say we're in the Belleville region. So that's like Belleville, Quinte West, Trenton, Napanee, Kingston, Peterborough. But it has expanded across Canada. We've had people from Alberta, Nova Scotia, Quebec, multiple state, and then, yeah, Colombia and that type of thing. I find there are a lot of different cultural backgrounds and religious background that have attended. Some of my greatest learnings have been through, and again, this is just my feeling, I love learning about the indigenous practices or the way they honor their deceased.
And how would, due to the North American or way that they look at death or how to handle a deceased, how do the indigenous view death? In grieving and handling someone that's gone.
Yeah. So again, I can't speak for all the different.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Only the people that I've shared within my group. We're very close to the Mohawk territory. So we've had some people from the Mohawk territory share what they do. But yeah, just how they honor the life of the individual, how they bring the body back to the longhouse and invite the community, how they involve the community. How there is both like ritual and also festivities. I don't know if that's the right word, celebration, meals, food. But it's very community-based, which I think is really beautiful. And yeah, I love the idea of being put back into the earth. That is just my wishes for myself. So learning about some of those have been very eye-opening for me. And then even, yeah, like learning about what the Jewish community do. I had no idea that they sit for so many days in mourning, right? Either individually or together. And again, I can't speak on all the details because it's just things I've heard within the discussion. Right. I'm not a professional or Jewish to speak in high detail, but I just think some of this stuff is so lovely. We've even had people join where they said their deceased loved one had planned their whole celebration of life, including the music beforehand, which I thought was really interesting. I think it's great that people are doing some traditional like formal celebrations, and some people are going more to, I don't know what you want to call it, like a casual gathering. So whether that's a bonfire or something outdoor, like almost like a picnic or a barbecue versus something very formal.
I guess that's to celebrate who the person is and probably what they enjoyed in their lives with their friends. I guess and that's how they're being honored that way. Let me ask you a question. Now you've been doing it for 3 years. You probably have a lot, because you do have a lot of regulars. Have you seen, and I guess, I don't know if the right word is evolution, but have you seen a change in terms of the individuals who continuously are part of, come to the cafe, in terms of how they evolve when it comes to the death or their grieving process that they're going through? Have they talked about how having these monthly conversations changed who they are and what they're thinking and how they view their own lives?
Yeah, a bunch of my regulars have definitely shared that. And the fact that it's almost like it lays this foundation of continuous support, and they know that the event will be happening if they have questions or anything like that. And I think some of the fears are lifted, right? So from hearing other people stories, or when you come in and you just want to ask a question to have some discussion around it, instead of sitting by yourself wondering, going down all those paths of what if, when people ask those questions and they get that feedback, it almost gives them options to step forward and make some different changes, or they might find a simpler path for themselves by realizing there's different options. And again, I actually believe as humans, like, we learn so much through storytelling, right? Storytelling of experiences, and that, and you automatically pick out what sort of calls to you and what you want to try for yourself. So with this space, I have definitely seen, it's almost like the regulars have become, the word I'll say is almost lighter.
Right. They say that, or you've noticed that?
I would say both. I've noticed it. They even look lighter. And even how they contribute to the group, it's really interesting how some people may have been very shy at the beginning, and now they feel very comfortable when new people join to really introduce themselves, say what they've benefited from attending Death Cafes. And I even get emails afterwards, like I said, about thanking me and talking about the group, just in respect to if they've missed, if a regular has missed a meeting, or I don't like to call it a meeting,
okay.
A discussion, get together, like an event. Yeah, they will actually send me an email and say, I really missed everyone. I can't wait till the next time, which just, you know, kind of solidifies why I'm doing this. The reason why I do this is to create connection for people to not feel alone in an area where a lot of people feel alone.
So my last question to you is, why do you believe it's important for people to have conversations about death and grieving? And for the people that are listening, and do you have any advice for the person who may be hesitant to talk about these topics in their own lives?
Yeah, I will say from my experience, I feel as though knowledge opens opportunities for me. When I have conversations, or if I do research or anything like that, or a life experience, when I gain knowledge, I feel as though when I have new experiences or the same experience comes up, if I've collected some information and I realize I have options, so I don't feel trapped. One of the comments that I hear at the Death Cafe is, you know, when someone's passed away, people feel very lost, very trapped, especially if there's no conversation proactively around the wishes of the person who is either ill or deceased. Yeah. Families get in argument, people are completely lost, and their own life takes a turn, gets consumed, versus really being able to still create your life. The reality is, all of us, for our loved one, we all wish the best for our loved one. I would hope most of us had that wish, whether we're living or deceased. I personally, after my experience of my husband passing away, we did have our affairs, our legal affairs in order. And it was still, I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but it was still a tsunami. I was like, it was still a shit show, right?
Okay.
There's still a lot of stuff. There were still a lot of things to deal with. So I feel like when you have some of those options, and for me personally, when I, for my personality, it's like when I have a toolbox of things I can use when these situations come, I feel more confident and capable to pull out the tool I need at that time.
Yeah.
I guess that's the best way to package that. And that's what these discussions do for me. And also at the time, I didn't feel as though I had adult connections. So being a widow with two young children, my life was so consumed with children bereavement, right? Are the kids okay? Are the kids going to be okay? The community people ask me, how are the kids? And I was like, I need a space for myself to have adult, real conversation. Yeah. I will say at Death Cafe, there's not very many superficial conversations. That's for sure. It gets pretty deep.
It does get very deep.
So if that's something you're into, but that's not for everyone, right? I find it brings peace of mind. It brings inner peace for me to know that I have access to this toolbox of strategies and this support from my community for whatever comes my way, because I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know what will be coming, but it makes me feel more confident and capable. And I wish that for others.
I think what you do, it is angel work, because for you to take the time to want to help others have those conversations. And a lot of people are, you know, don't want to have those conversations. And I sat in on 3 cafes. And you can see that there is a community, nice people, and everybody wants to help each other through a very tough time, because everybody's coming at this situation from different angles, as I said before. If people want to know a little bit more about your work, a little bit more about the cafe, how can they do that?
Yeah. So for the Death Cafe Quinty specifically, I would go to the Facebook page, which is Death Cafe Quinty.
How do you spell Quinty?
Q-U-I-N-T-E.
Q-U-I. Say it again.
Q-U-I-N-T-E.
Death Cafe Quinty.
Yeah. Or you could even look up near Belleville, Ontario, place to get any information on the Death Cafe.
And there's also the Death Cafe. And I think, is it deathcafe.com? Is also, you can even
Death
learn
Cafe.
More about it.
Deathcafe.com is, yeah,
they're held around the world.
On the whole movement of death cafes, or if you want to see if there's one in your neighborhood, people are posting there as well. If you think about, if you want to start one in your community, you can get the information on how to facilitate a death cafe. I'm always open to have a conversation with someone if they want to message me through the Facebook page. If they're thinking about setting one up in the community, like in their own community, I can talk to them about the experience of setting one up and what time it takes.
And if they want to get in touch with you about your life coach business?
Yeah. So the best place to find me on social media is Allison Coaches. So I'm on Instagram and Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube.
Okay.
Yeah. All those places.
You can be found, or for sure, every month, either online or in a cafe. With, I got to come to a live one. I wonder what I remember.
You need snacks.
Sorry?
You need snacks.
Yeah, remember we were online and I was asking, are there no snacks? Do I, next time, should I bring much, should I send Montreal bagels to everybody? I just figured there was something missing because everybody had some people had coffee, I didn't have anything to drink, but figure the online, that should be a requirement. Have your favorite snack there. But I'm sure it must be different live get together. And I got to come down and do that really soon. Allison Pilling, I want to thank you so much for taking the time, sharing your knowledge and your help in terms of helping people have those conversations about death and grieving at your death cafe. I wish you all the best. And clearly, you're always doing amazing stuff. So we're probably going to have another conversation sometime down in the future. Once again, thanks for being here.
Thank you, David. Yeah, this is great.
I hope you enjoyed the episode. Can you do me a favor? Show some love for the podcast by leaving me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Can you share it? And subscribe to or follow on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm David Eady. Thanks for listening.